For today's share, we'll be discussing how to become humble. How do you work on humility? So the best way to become humble is to study the person who was the most humble. The person who was the most humble was Hillel. So we have a story about Hillel's humility. The famous story where Erev Shabbos, he was getting ready for Shabbos, and this nudnik kept knocking at his door, and Hillel wasn't agitated, and he kept his cool. So that story indicates that the route to humility is not having your anger flare, is not feeling encroached upon when people need your time and need your services and need your money. So that's a very famous story that teaches us how to become humble like Hillel. But today we're going to read four statements of Hillel in Pirkei Avos that don't seem to have anything to do about humility, and they're recorded in Pirkei Avos, but if we listen to them, oh, that's a good way to build humility. That's a gateway to humility. That may be a way to become more humble. So this is Perek Beis in Pirkei Avos, and in this Perek, Hillel gives us four halachos, and by studying the halachos, we think that, oh, that could be a good tactic to try to work more on my humility. Okay? So, as with every trait, as I alluded to yesterday, there are three ways to build the trait. The strongest way is to find people with the trait and let it rub off on you. It's called osmosis. So if you want to start building friendships, you build friendships based on the traits you want to try to imitate and you want to try to absorb. Another way is to think about the trait internally, why it's important, and then try to build it internally. A third way is to take actions that reflect that trait, even though they may not yet signal that you have the trait inside, because our actions and our behavior affect our identity. So that's what's happening today. Hillel's telling us you take these following actions, so they will ultimately be the product of humility, but at this stage, they'll generate and trigger your humility. So what are they? So, Hu Haya Omer. Hillel would say, okay, let me find it here. Al Tefrosh Min HaTzibur. Try to follow the general common approach. We call people who always feel like they have to be different, nonconformists. We find people who always feel need to be different, mavericks, renegades. Now, obviously, if the tzibor has to be defied because their culture is rancid and their morals are toxic, so obviously you have to know when to defy the culture and when to walk away from the culture. Batya walked away from her culture. Kalev walked away from his culture of the Meraglim. So, and those were, as Chazal say, those were the two celebrated rebels. But by and large, if you live in a healthy world, a lot of times arrogance makes you feel like I'm different, I'm better, the rules that apply to everyone else don't apply to me, I don't have to follow the system, I don't have to be polite, I don't have to wait online, I don't have to pay my taxes, I can daven separately. Sometimes people ask me, what if I feel that if I don't go to shul, I'll daven with more kavanah, maybe I should daven b'yechidus. So it's an interesting halacha question when you start to parse Kavana versus Tzila B'tzibor. But to me, the whole background to that question is off. You should see a Tzila B'tzibor as a place that you see other people and you're inspired by their davening. Again, the Tzila could be very, if the Tzibor is very, very disorderly and very loud and very disruptive, but in general, it shows an attitude that's a little bit toxic. Oh, the Tzibor, I don't want to dine with them, I want to be with myself. So if you have that tendency to be Parish Minat Tzibor, in davening, in public experiences, and you're always trying to stand out. You're always trying to do something different. I remember as a person growing up, I still daven with them from time to time, and I hear them davening. So you know how the whole tzibur sings together, Kiddusha, or Hallel, whatever you're singing together, and there's always one person that's singing a few words ahead or a few words behind, or not people who are singing melody at different frequencies, because they're trying to make it nicer. If I sing low, you sing high, it's more of a nicer melody. But people are always singing a little bit off. It always bothered me. Why do you have to sing off? Because you want to hear yourself. If you sing with a tzibur, you don't hear yourself. It's just your voice is lost in the tzibur. If you sing a few words ahead, a few words behind, because you want to sing. It's part of being in a tzibur is you have to abdicate some of your personal autonomy, some of your personal individualism. Both practically, you have to play by the rules, and not just practically, but emotionally, you're joining a larger collective. Anytime you're joining a larger collective, you're giving up some of your autonomy. You're not yourself. You're part of something larger. And people of ego have a very hard time with that. They have a hard time diminishing their own identity, diminishing their own autonomy. But that's the road to humility. So one way to achieve humility is to feel more connected to the tzibur that you're part of. And that may mean, I don't know, I was a rabbi in a shul this Shabbos, and part of the rules of being a rabbi in a shul on Shabbos, a speaker in America, is you have to sit on the stage. I hated it, but that's the rules they forced me to. And I have to be very careful about when I stood for tefillah, when I don't stand for tefillah, because by my standing for tefillah, am I standing out from the tzibur in a very visible fashion on stage? So I'm makbid to stand for parts of tefillah that maybe some people are not. But when it comes to this situation, parash min hatzibur is more important than whatever my minhagim are. So I tried to find a way to calibrate. Again, each situation is very, very different. So that's one way to generate humility. Al tefresh min hatzibur. The second thing he said, al tamin bi'atzmecha ad yomoso. This is an easy one. Overconfidence in religion. Al tamin bi'atzmecha ad yomoso. Don't believe that you have beaten all of your devils and you've overcome all of your desires and you've succeeded religiously even to the day you die. Okay, that's an exaggeration. I mean, look, the day that things can go wrong also, but it means your whole life. In our terms, we say don't ever become religiously complacent. Don't ever be content. Now, there's a very, very thin line between confidence and complacency. You should be confident. A lot of people have a hard time feeling confident in religion, and they're always haunted by, what did I do wrong? And is that Kodesh Baruch Hu going to punish me? And there's so much guilt, and Hashem has thunderbolts, and Hashem's waiting. You have to have confidence, and part of the confidence is the confidence to know that you can make a mistake, and Hashem is Melech HaRachamim, and Hashem's not going to punish you if you were sincere and you just made a sincere error, and not to see the whole world as guilt and punishment. But sometimes it can be too much overconfidence. I won't call it confidence. I call it complacency. I would say even different in our world, you max out. You reach your religious level, you become satisfied, you put it on pilot, and you're not growing. Well, with religion in particular, if you're not growing, you're probably backsliding. Probably true. Like with a plane. If a plane isn't moving, a certain fish, if they're not swimming, they're dying. So, because the water's not going through the gills. So it's pretty much true with religion. If there is an ambition, it could stall. And then very quickly, when things stall, it loses its spirit. And then when religion loses its spirit, it tends to decay and it tends to erode. So, Mirat Hashem, you should find that confidence. I hope that in the next couple of years, maybe you've already found it, but the next couple of years, you say, you know what, I'm very, very confident that I'm an Ovid Hashem and I'm proud of myself and I have self-esteem in my religion. But how can I check? How can I do better? And in a very negative and sinister sense, there are always dangers lurking. Because I'll say the B'yachon Kohen Gadol was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years. And then he became, what was his real name? Anyone know? John Hyrcanus. He became a leading Sadducee, a leading Tzduki, in one of the most terrible periods of Jewish history. So, and then after he was 80 years old. So if you imagine, I don't know, an 80-year-old Rosh Yeshiva all of a sudden becoming an atheist. It's unthinkable to us. But things like this happen because human nature is weak. And just because a person has strong human nature and resolute moral code doesn't mean they aren't vulnerable. People are always vulnerable. And accepting vulnerability is also part of humility. Even if you never fail, accepting vulnerability, sharing vulnerability, when you start to go out on dates, you'll find the best way to connect to someone is to make yourself a real person, not to hide behind the screen. And the best way to make yourself a real person is not to project perfection, but to know that you have limitations and to be comfortable sharing your limitations, sharing your fears, sharing things you've done wrong. Again, not things that are meant to be private. So the second way to achieve humility, according to Hillel, is not just to merge with larger collectives, but the second way for Hillel is don't be too cocky, don't be too complacent religiously. Okay, the third is easy. Al todin es chavercha ad shetagia limkomo. We would call that extreme judgmentalism. Okay, now this is a very, very hard challenge for boys your age. Why? Because the nature of personal growth, and in particular religious growth, you're always looking around you, comparing and contrasting. How is that boy davening? Is this the way I want to daven? How is that boy learning? How is that boy performing mitzvahs? How is that boy built? That's true of any growth is comparative growth. What you have to do is you have to learn, it's a hard, hard line to drive, you have to learn the difference between judging or observing, let's say, witnessing, assessing, and judgmentalism. Okay, so witnessing means I see you. You know, that's not my approach. My approach, knowing myself and knowing my strengths and my weaknesses, for me, I would do it a little bit differently. A little too much, a little too little. But I'm not in any way demeaning or disparaging you. I'm not climbing to the top by either verbally or even not verbally, mentally diminishing you in my mind and saying, you know, that's a horrible way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a horrible yeshiva to go to. That's a terrible derech halimut. and therefore my derech halim or my yeshiva must be superior. It takes a while till you have confidence to say, it's not really where I would say to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not, I don't see that as the best way to serve Hashem, at least for me. Knowing myself, knowing my personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's very, very, very hard. It takes many, many, many years. With this trade in particular, the best thing is to find people that are not judgmental. Like, ask yourself right now, which person do you know in your life that's the least judgmental person? You probably never asked that question. It's a really important question, because that's your only hope. If you're a quick judge of people and you judge harshly, you have to find people that are just very accepting, and you'll find them to be sometimes less ideological, because when you're ideological and opinionated, you have strong opinions. When you have strong opinions, you also express your strong opinions about others. So part of what you give up when you're not judgmental is that you're not as strongly opinionated, which is fine. Everything's a balance between strongly held opinions and the ability to embrace other people who share different opinions. So the third trait, that is a gateway to humility, the first trait is not to sever yourself from public settings and collective experiences. Number two is don't be too confident in your religious identity and growth. Number three is don't be judgmental. And number four is, okay, there are five, so I'll say five very briefly, but number four is, al tomar davar she'yevshar lishmoa, she'sefo lihishamea. Very strange phrase. Mefarshim don't really know what it means, or many different interpretations, but one interpretation that I'll share today is, don't share secrets. Don't share things in secret. Now, it's not gossip necessarily. That would be lashon hara. That would be a horrible sin, slander. But if you tell me something in privacy, or even if I know something in privacy, in English it's called be discreet. Now, why is that a gateway to humility? Because whenever you share something in private, aside from the victim who's you may be affecting or injuring, you told me something you wanted to be confidential, now I'm sharing it, so you feel embarrassed, you didn't want it to be shared. But aside from that, you always score points when you share something that other people don't know, because you come across as more intelligent, right? If I know something you don't know and I share, oh, that person, he's connected. That person is well-read. That person's very smart. That person knows more information. That's part of the reason we share secrets, is to build up our own profile. Because when we share things, I'm the first to break it. I'm the first to break it in my social media posts. So you get a lot of likes, and people think you're an important person. You draw attention to yourself. If I tell you it's now 8:10, you know, okay, just look at your watch. If I say, oh, Adam, last night, you know, I don't know, had pickles on his on hot dog. Okay, that's information that only I... When you share private information, you're scoring points. Don't try to score points. Okay, so now I'm abstracting it beyond the Mishnah. In your conversation, what things that you say in conversations do you say to score points? Sometimes it's horrid things you say to score points, real lashon hara, real cursing, real motzi shemra, and that's obvious. It's not just a problem of scoring points, but because of the isurim. But Hill is not talking about that. He's talking about revealing secrets. And revealing secrets, very often, it's just to, do you exaggerate to score points? Do you virtue signal to score points? You make yourself into a big time lachacham. What statements do you drop in conversation because you want to make your own position? If you try to avoid them, then you don't really care about people's opinion, then you'll be more humble. Okay? So those are the first four. I'll just mention the fifth. Number one, don't sever yourself from society. Number two, don't be too complacent in religion. Number three, don't be hyper-judgmental. Number four, don't speak just to score points. The fifth, he says, doesn't seem to be related to humility. I'll just finish the Mishnah. It may be related. He says, don't say one day when I have free time, I'm going to learn. L'chshefne eshne. Shem elotifane. So that doesn't sound like it's a factor of humility. It sounds like it's the sad story of life, right? I imagine how many people are sitting in this corner? About 12, 13. I imagine that every single one of you wants to be the biggest Talmud Chacham ever. So why aren't you staying in yeshiva for the next 100 years? When I have time, you know, first I'm going to make my money, then I'm going to go and do this, and then I'll get married, and then when I have time, I'll sit and learn, I'll get to it. We all know how that story ends, right? When I have time, I'll get to it. So that sounds that that's what Hill is discussing. How this relates to humility is probably much, much more nuanced. I'm not going to speak about it. It's number five in his list. We assume there's some cohesion in the five, but it's a little bit late. I'm not going to talk about it, okay? So tomorrow, it's Chassidus. Thursday is Rashi. Friday, I'm back on a plane, so there's no shit. And I'm back in Mitzvah Shem on Monday. Okay? Have a good morning, everyone. Nice, humble.